Okay. Mike, you saved me for one thing. I thought I had the invitation tonight too, so I came prepared. And he says he was doing it. And I thought, I looked at the wrong week. You would? I may take you up on it because I'm already prepared for it. And I will talk about that after class. All right, so tonight we're going to talk about hypocrisy. I've preached a sermon on this. It's been a long time ago, and I believe I've talked about bits and parts before. Hypocrisy, in my mind, is one of the things. I mean, it's just we have a tough time as it is discussing the gospel with our friends, with our family. And hypocrisy just makes it, I mean, it makes that hill even steeper to climb when hypocrisy is in the mix along with the other sins and the other beliefs that the people have. What does hypocrisy mean, or being a hypocrite? What's that mean in the context, especially of the Bible? What's it mean? That's, yeah. Right. Yep. It's given the pretense of having a virtuous character, or virtuous morals, religious beliefs, principles that a person doesn't really possess. There's a picture that I remember finding that it basically shows two faces. And that's basically what a person's being. They're being two-faced. Out of this side, they're showing to be virtuous and religious and godly. And then on this other side is, I mean, they're sinful, they're worldly, and, they just don't care about.
Is that what
apostasy?
Yeah.
No. I know it doesn't mean hypocrisy and apostasy, but I'd have to look what that word exactly means, but I know it doesn't mean it's not the same as hypocrisy. Not apostasy. That's
apostasy is falling away.
I was going to say, I thought it meant turning away, falling away from God, and hypocrisy is just a living the perception of living one way when you really live another.
Okay.
Yeah. You're welcome. And if I don't see somebody raise their hand or something, just speak up. I'll listen. So some form of the word hypocrite or hypocrisy, it appears 29 times in the New Testament. The majority of those times, it's Christ talking about somebody being a hypocrite or the hypocrisy of people. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, the first instance I want to look at. Matthew chapter 6, we'll start with verse 1 and 2. Says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward." What story would this remind you of? About doing this, charitable deeds in front of men to be seen of men.
The Pharisee.
Okay. Anybody else? Any other? That's not the one I was thinking of. Huh? Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. We won't read all that. But that's what they were doing, wasn't it? I mean, they were standing before Peter and the others and saying, look what good I have done. Yep. Yeah, and we'll get that. That's on my list. There you go again, jumping ahead on me. But yeah, Ananias and Sapphira, I mean, they stand up and say, look at the good I've done. I've sold this land, and here's what I'm giving. When in reality, I mean, that wasn't the truth. And I mean, we've talked about this before. Would there have been anything wrong with them coming and saying, hey, I sold the land, and this is what I'm able to give, or this is what I've decided to give? I mean, I think so, too. I mean, it's the fact that they, one, they lied about it, and two, they were being hypocritical about what they were doing. So, I mean, that's the context of Acts chapter 5. That's what they're, that was the problem there. Right. Well, yeah, I mean, that's, yeah. Right, yeah, and yeah, that's like selling I know the tax laws have changed on selling used vehicles, but, you know, used to, if you didn't pay more than X amount, you didn't have to pay sales tax on it. And, I mean, I've heard of several people saying, well, hey, they wrote me a bill of sale for under the amount, whatever that was. I think it used to be $2,000. I think it's higher now. But I really paid, you know, I paid $5,000 for it, but they just wrote me a bill of sale for $1,975, and I don't have to pay sales tax on it. It's kind of, that's the same principle of what Rick's talking about. I mean, that's a lie, being deceptive to get out of paying taxes. I mean, nobody wants to pay taxes. Nobody likes to pay taxes, but that's the law. That's the rules our government have made. So you're right, Rick. Next in Matthew chapter 6, there in verse 5, Christ is talking. It says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward." Again, we get up. I mean, we lead public prayer here. We may be called on to lead public prayer at a wedding, at any type of gathering. I know at work, when we would have our quarterly luncheons, you know, they would call on certain people to lead a prayer. Nothing wrong with it. I mean, what does our attitude need to be, though? Pardon? Right. We need to have a humble attitude about when our prayers. We don't need to get up there and be like, well, I've been asked to lead prayer, so I'm gonna really boast. I'm gonna stick my chest out, and I'm really gonna show them what I can do. Because then we're wanting to be seen when we lead that prayer. What we want to do is, I mean, not that we want to hide, but we want to be humble about it. Look at Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, that's what Mike was talking about just a minute ago. Beginning of verse 9. "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.'" Could that have been a true statement from him? I mean, very well could have been. That could have been exactly what he does. But what was he doing there? Yeah. It's like, look at me, look at the good I'm doing, look at what, which in reality, I mean, even though he may do that, it could have been just to be seen. You know, he's got that I'm holy, but on the flip side of it, I mean, he's being worldly with it. So, But he stood there praying and saying, look at me, this is what I do, this is what I've done, I continue to do. And what happens there in verse 13 and 14? What does the tax collector do? Who was a tax collector? Were they well respected?
No.
Were they well liked?
No.
No, still not. That's right, Rick. Again, we don't like paying taxes. We think they're crooks and cheats, but they're probably not as bad as what they were back then. Do what?
I think Rick got a bad tax bill.
That's right, Alan. Yeah. That this tax collector here?
We don't know that.
No. Right. That you've got the, you know, this is one of those that they may have looked at him and said, well, he's a hypocrite. He's a tax collector, but here he is praying to God. But he was praying to God in a manner that was more respected than what the Pharisee was. So, I mean, it's, you know, we have a, yeah, he's sitting back there. We have lawyers. Are never looked at, you know, in good light, except for Stephen. That's why I say he's back here. Yes, I mean, there's not. That's just the perception that a lot of people. I won't say everybody, but a lot of people have. Is that lawyers are cheats and crooks, and they, you know, they do what they can to, you know, get somebody off of whatever trial they're on so that they can get paid, and you know, and that's not always. I mean, that's not the truth. Even in this case, I mean, the tax collector seemed to be a righteous, you know, a man. Striving to be righteous, at least. But he said he stands afar off, wouldn't so much as raise his eyes to heaven, and he beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Christ says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So in one of the commentaries on Luke, the word stood that's talked about there in verse 11, where it says the Pharisee stood and prayed, this meant to strike a pose, to assume an attitude, basically, where they could be seen. It wasn't just standing there, you know, like this. They were standing there probably, you know, making gestures to where people, if they didn't see him at first, they would see him before it was probably all said and done. Yes. There's a lot of them that thought that. I mean, I don't know how to answer that without, I mean, you putting yourself in his shoes. I mean, I think he would be disappointed with how he was acting and his attitude towards what he should have known Christ, what Christ was coming to do. But yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, yes. We should be thankful, you know, that he was willing to do that. And it's, you know, hypocrisy is it's something many of us have gone through. I mean, it's we get cornered. We did something wrong, and it's easy. I mean, especially, I'll use my kids as examples. I mean, you can catch them in the act of doing something. And we've seen videos, you know, kids got, you know, frosting all over their mouth. Did you eat the cupcake? No. You know, and I mean, and that's, or going through life knowing that they, you know, stole the cupcake. They stole. They took the cupcake and ate it without permission, you know, but they're walking around like, well, I didn't do that. You know, I don't do anything. I wouldn't do that. Years ago, I mean, y'all, I've been as open as I feel I can about my past life, the ups and downs that I've had. And, you know, at points, those low points in my life, in my faith, I mean, hypocrisy has been the wave that I rode. Several years ago, I can remember driving by this building, not this building, the old building, and the vehicle I was in, I was a passenger, and leaning that seat as far back as I could get it because it was time to come to church. People were walking in, and I was trying to hide. I knew better than what I was doing. And yet when I would come, I acted like nothing was. And I wasn't missing church for, I think I went to Walmart. The instance I'm thinking of, I went to Walmart. It wasn't like I was working or I had to go to work or on my way to work. I just skipped. But again, that next Sunday or Wednesday or whatever it was, come here acting like everything was fine. So it's something that many struggle with. I won't say all. I mean, we all don't struggle with the same things, but it's things that people struggle with. What can we do to help that? I mean, Jacob, I'm just going to use you as an example. Say I know Jacob is living that life of hypocrisy. I've seen him out doing things that he knows he's not supposed to be doing. I know he's not supposed to be doing. And if others knew, they would have a problem with it too. What can we do to help each other if we know that? Right. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's a tough conversation to have. Because you go back to Matthew 7. And before I can go to Jacob, I mean, I better make sure that I'm not living that same life, you know. Now, again, none of us are going to be perfect. But we better make sure we don't have this log sticking out of our eye before we try to go get a little speck out of somebody else's. Yes, Catherine. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Facebook exposes a lot. And sometimes it's because they don't care what they're posting. They No, right. Well, and that's the thing. We're all going through our different trials, and we have different temptations. But you're right, Catherine. It would be easier if you knew that you had a fellow brother that was going through whatever that you were that you could go talk to. But it's hard. I mean, I think I've said this before. Early on, when I started coming to 65, Mike Binko was the one man that I sat down with early on, and I mean, I didn't lay everything out, but I laid enough on the table that he knew where I stood, and it wasn't good. I mean, it wasn't right, and Mike let me know, you know, this is what you need to do. Because I remember, you know, he said, first and foremost, you need to change your ways. But it's hard. I mean, I even today, I mean, I'd have a hard time going to anybody and just laying it all out there. I mean, I kind of, if you're caught though in whatever struggle, whether it's hypocrisy, say that you're caught, you know, social drinking, and you get called out on it. It would be easier then, once you know that you've been caught with your hand in the cookie jar, to kind of lay things out, and then it would be to just, you know, at some point say, okay, man, I got to tell somebody. Not that that doesn't happen. I think of David in that case. I've questioned, and this is going to sound bad, but I've questioned, had Nathan ever went to him, would he have ever repented? Had he not been called out on that? Who knows? I mean, just has always been kind of a question in the back of my mind, is because you see somebody that has been caught in a sin, and I mean, it doesn't matter what we think in the end, as long as they're right with God, we're to forgive them. I'm kind of getting off topic, man. Imagine that, me getting on a tangent. We're to forgive them if they come forward and they ask for forgiveness, and I mean, we're to treat them as if they've done the right thing. Until proven. I mean, that goes back to that, how many times do I forgive a man when he sins against me? Between him and God in the end. And if he's asked this congregation, if somebody comes forward and they ask this congregation for forgiveness for whatever it is, we have an obligation to forgive them. Seven times seven. 70 times seven. We're supposed to, yeah. And I mean, that just was meaning that, I mean, you don't go through and say, okay, that's 70 times 7, that's 490. So 491, we're done. I mean, I'm going to lose count. So, I mean, I'm not going to remember that many. Rick? Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, no matter whether you're talking about sin or whether you're talking about in life, you know, convincing somebody that whatever it is they're doing is wrong. Mm-hmm. No, I think so too. Yeah. 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 No, we have to be careful. I mean, like I said, whoever it is, you know, if you catch them in hypocrisy or whatever sin it is, you can't go up to them and be like, well, you're going to hell now, aren't you? I mean, you got to be tactful. You got to be like, hey, you know, can we talk about something? You know, pull them off to the side. Don't cut their knees off out in front of everybody. You know, so you're right. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Bo. They'll never let you let it down. Right. We label them from that point on as Well, I mean, there's no hope for them. They've done this, so that, I mean, they'll probably. Yeah. That we're hiding. Yeah. Yeah, we wouldn't want. I mean, we all have our struggles. I mean, it goes back to what Catherine has said. I mean, if we knew, I mean, and we should be able to talk to anybody. I mean, we can go to the elders, you know, as deacons, and people can come to us and we can talk. I mean, family, if we've got Christian family members, I mean, you can talk to them to help you with your struggles. But yeah, we don't want anybody else. I mean, like you said, if it doesn't get exposed, we don't want people knowing what our struggles is, and then they'll hold that against us. We got to think about that. I mean, that could be us being a hypocrite of saying, well, they're living a life of sin, and here I am not thinking about it. Yeah.
And if I can't pronounce that word, he teaches me how to pronounce it and then what it means.
Right.
So I take a whole hour of my, he takes a whole hour of his time to study the Bible with me.
Yep.
And between that and Highway 65, I've learned a lot more than ever. But Boston Street had Hoyt Houghton Street.
Huh.
And so if I want some, I could go to him or Clark Moody. They both were elders.
Yeah.
And I could go to them. Yeah. I had to have a question answered.
Yeah. And if, you know, if a person's not comfortable with going to the elder, like I said, go to somebody else to talk about to help with your struggles.
No, you can go to your family or go to you or a deacon or.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But sometimes we just forget and we gotta be reminded.
Well, yeah, I'm just getting
a little
bit older where my mind comes and goes.
Yeah. I wish I could say age was a problem with my mind coming and going, but that's not it.
I want to say one thing.
Okay. You repent of your sins.
And confess your sins. That makes five.
Yep.
But the most thing is, I was taught that you're supposed to hear.
Well, you can't. I mean, you won't know what to do if you don't hear.
If you don't hear the word, you don't know.
Exactly. Yep.
So see, I'm really getting something good out of this, because you're a deacon right now. And the man up there at the, Colorado Springs, he takes time to do everything. And we're studying the hardest book in the Bible, I say, Daniel. It's Revelation.
Man, he's a good man for doing that. He's a good man for taking that on. There's not many people that would.
Yeah, but him and I have already gone to 17, and boy, it tells about beast and everything else.
Yep.
What's coming out of the earth and all this stuff. Oh, Jody, I'm telling you. So I'm enjoying getting to have you study.
Well, good. Matthew chapter 15. It'd help if I turn to Matthew instead of Mark. Matthew chapter 15, starting verse 1, says, "Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread.' He answered and said to them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him put him to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me, it is a gift to God. then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God by no effect, of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites. I'm going to stop right there. So, because of man's tradition, what made them a hypocrite in that situation? Was it because of what they were? Was it God's tradition, the tradition of what God's word had said? Or was it the tradition that they had themselves? Trying to push. It's man-made tradition. Yeah. Because there in verse, at the end of verse 7, it says, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So a lot of times, when they're not trying to push things on whoever, whether it was other Jews or Gentiles, something that they weren't even following themselves. Yeah. But I mean, that's something that as a hypocrite for us, we need to think about. If we're telling somebody, hey, you don't need to do this. God says in Matthew chapter 15, you don't need to, transgress the word of God. Fornication is a sin, and then we're out there doing it. I mean, what does that say about us? I mean, we fall in that same category of being hypocrites. Yep. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Outside, it appeared that they were shiny and new and clean, and on the inside, they were rotten. Luke chapter 10. Beginning in verse 25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, meaning Christ, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. Verse 29, but he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, Who is my neighbor? So you've got a lawyer that's trying to justify his life or how he's acting. So he's trying to trip Jesus up and saying, Well, who's my neighbor? So Christ, we know the parable of the Good Samaritan. You've got a priest. You've got a Samaritan that has compassion on a man that's been robbed and beaten, left for dead, from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, what makes this story interesting? What is this man, the man that was beaten, that was robbed, that was left for dead? What nationality was he? We feel like he was a Jew, just based on the story. Because in verse 31 says, by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And he went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave it to them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of this man, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. And Christ asked, Which three of these do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? This lawyer says, he who showed mercy on him. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. So, I mean, we think he was a Jew because what would be the point if he wasn't a Jew if a Samaritan stopped and helped another Samaritan? Was a Jew and Samaritan, were they friends? No. The Jew looked down on a Samaritan, didn't he? So, in turn, a Samaritan probably wouldn't look too fondly on a Jew because of what they felt like that person may have thought about them. So, you've got a priest and you've got a Levite that, in my mind, have the most responsibility to help this man, regardless of whether he's a Jew or a Gentile or whatever, right? I mean, he should have been helping. He's teaching. If he's teaching the law, I mean, he's teaching people to love the Lord and love your neighbor as yourself. Yet, what did they do? They had that priest and Levite face over here, and then when they saw this wounded man, they had that face of, I don't know you. I'm not going to practice what I preach. Mike? Right. Yeah. He said the one who showed mercy on him. So, I mean, it's something that, I mean, we can do that with people that we see today. You know, we have a different thought about certain types of people. I'll use, for example, somebody that's got tattoos all over their arms and their necks. I mean, what is the general perception of somebody like that? I mean, and I'm just as guilty as the next person. They're a thug. They're a thug. You know, they're probably abusive to people. Don't want to get too close to them. They may beat me up. I mean, that's the thought process. Is that right some of the times? Probably. But it's not right 100% of the time. Does that mean that we should turn a blind eye if we see somebody like that that's hurt or injured or in true need? Again, I've got to qualify that. Somebody that's truly in need of help. Should we turn a blind eye because he's a thug anyway, Mike? Yeah. I mean, we talk about that, you know, and I don't remember who it was, not that it matters, but, you know, we're to plant seeds and we're to help. But, I mean, it's not up to us to force somebody. We can't force anybody to obey the gospel. And I know Alan and I have talked about this before. You know, we sometimes have this bias of, man, that person right there, man, they'd be a great Christian. Just because of the way that they act and they talk. And I mean, I think they'd be really receptive to the gospel. But this person, that person that we think may be the most receptive, may be the furthest from wanting to hear anything we have to say about God's word. Whereas that person that we look at that has tattoos all over him, that, you know, shaved head, clothes that, you know, baggy, big, whatever. Whatever other issue you want to put with them, if you'd sit down and talk to them, they may be the easiest conversion that you ever have. And that's what this, in this story, I mean, the priest and Levite turned a blind eye to this person because of where they was, possibly what they thought they were. So, any other questions or comments? So the last thing I want to talk about, and if we're in this situation now, as far as we know our lives, we're being hypocritical by the way that we live outside of these doors. We got to think about it like this: we have enough struggle with the way the world is now, the pressures against people to go to the church of your choice, Live how you want to. God's going to take care of, I mean, he's all loving. His grace is just going to take care of everything. So we've got that uphill battle. But you throw the fact of, well, I know Jacob Merrick goes to Highway 65, and man, he's doing all these things that Highway 65 preaches against. And he acts like he's all righteous, man. He's such a hypocrite. How much harder is that going to be on us to go talk to that person? Say I'm trying to talk to Juan, and Juan knows Jacob is being a hypocrite. How hard is that going to be for me to convince Juan that, you know, this is where you need to go to learn the truth? When all he's got, I mean, I've heard it. It's like, well, I mean, they accept so-and-so as way however they are, so, I mean, why should I change? I'm better than them. Or at least I'm not as bad as what they are, is usually what's said. So, I mean, it's just something that we got to think about. I mean, it's definitely a, it makes it more of an uphill battle than the uphill battle we already got. Alan? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's not to say it like, I mean, we're all striving. We all have our struggles. The bad thing is a lot of times it seems like they just want to pick out that because it makes the other person feel better about their lives. But I mean, if you can convince them, it's like, hey, we know he's struggling, and we study with him, we talk with him, he knows what he's going through. Yeah, I mean, flip side is we can spin that to a positive to help them understand that we all have downfalls, we all struggle. So thank y'all very much.